You're listening to the Valley Vegas Church Podcast. Valley Vegas is located at 4500 West Sahara Avenue in the heart of Las Vegas. For more information and to get connected with us, visit valleyvegas.org. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Good evening, Valley. Yeah, awesome. I always love that Valley Vegas welcome. You guys are amazing. I see a lot of beautiful people tonight. And if you don't feel beautiful, I'm just telling you, you're beautiful, okay? Guys included. I'm not weird. But I'm stoked to lead the Bible study with you guys tonight. If you don't know me, my name is Sean. I'm blessed to be one of the pastors here at Valley Vegas. Wednesday nights, we kind of have a structure where we like to go more chapter by chapter through books in the Bible. And currently, we're in the book of John. We're going to be going starting chapter 11 tonight. So if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles, your Bible apps, whatever you have with you, to chapter 11. And in the meantime, I have a joke for you. Jack strode into John's stable looking to buy a horse. "Listen here," said John. "I've got just the horse you're looking for. The only thing is, he was trained by an interesting fellow." I had a really good voice set up for this, and it just did not work. But he doesn't go and stop the usual way. The way to get him is to stop is to scream, "Hey, hey!" The way you get him to go is to scream, "Thank God." All right? So if you want to get him to stop, you say, "Hey, hey." But if you want him to get him to go, you say, "Thank God." Now, Jim was having the time of his life with this horse. He was excited, riding around. Sure, he could run, he thought to himself. And Jim was just speeding down the dirt road when he suddenly saw a cliff up ahead. "Stop," he screamed. But the horse kept on going. No matter how much he tried, he could not remember the words to get it to stop. "Yo, yo," screamed Jim, but the horse just kept speeding ahead. It was 5 feet from the cliff when Jim suddenly remembered, "Hey, hey," he screamed. The horse skidded to a halt just 1 inch from the cliff. Jim could not believe his good fortune. He looked up to the sky, he raised his hands in the air and breathed a deep sigh of relief and said with conviction, "Thank God." Right? So the horse jumped. Okay, anyways. All right, we need to pray after that joke. Father God, we thank you for your love and your grace, Lord. Father, we're so excited that we get to do this with you, Father. And it says that you're with us in the fire and the water, and we're going to learn that you're with us through all things. So, Lord, I pray, Father, that these words that you've anointed, that you've blessed, that you've given, Father, these are not my words. But, Lord, that they are delivered as you see fit, Father. Lord, I pray you just move as you already have, Lord. Continue to move, Father God. Your presence is already here, so I'm not praying it in, Lord. I'm just praying that you move through it, Lord. Use me as a conduit, Lord. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to kick right off in verse 1. I promised Pastor Doug I'd end on time tonight, so we're going to jump right to it. Verse 1, it says, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, that's going to be important, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" I love that part, all right? I know I'm trying not to stop so many times tonight because I have a tendency to do that. But can I tell you, there's some things that we've been praying for the wrong motives, and God's saying, "No, not until it's my glory will it actually happen." Okay? That's for me in my own heart, I think. But if that spoke to you, that's awesome. Okay, let's go to verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." Okay, so let's stop there for a second. So we have up to this point is we know that Jesus is good friend, right? One whom he loves. He loves Mary and Martha, right? It says his good friend is ill. So naturally, when your friend is ill, you decide to stay for 2 extra days, right? That's just natural. No, that's not. It's like, wait a minute. Okay, so if your good friend who you love very much is ill, you stay for 2 extra days. And that doesn't quite make sense to me, right? And I was looking at this, and we're kind of seeking through this, and I think it's important to understand these two things. There's two major things that it made a very clear point to point out. And it was that, one, We know that he loved them very, very much. And we know that he said that this was not meant to destroy them. And I look at this and I find hope in this. Because there's a lot of things that I've been praying for, and I'm like, God, Lord, you know my needs before I ask for them. God, this miracle needs to happen, Lord. And Lord, it's going to bring you glory, God. This is all for you, Father. And there's this miracle that I've been praying for, and I've been praying for, and I've been praying for. And it's like, when in this situation, I mean, I can only imagine Mary and Martha, because they sent this note. It wasn't like they just sent a text message. All right, so they're waiting for this reply. They don't get to hear this. So in this moment of sending out this miraculous prayer, being like, Jesus, we need you. In this moment, I can see them starting to lose faith a little bit. Seeing Lazarus get sicker and sicker and sicker and more sick, more ill, however the grammar is supposed to be there. But I just see them getting worse. And that gives me hope, because what we know about this, what we know about them, means the same thing for us. Can I tell you that, yes, you know what? You may be waiting on that miracle. You may be losing faith, just like Mary and Martha, I feel like we're in this moment. And you're kind of feeling overwhelmed, like, this, God, where are you? Can I tell you that it's not meant to destroy you and that God loves you? That's so comforting. Because then I know whatever I'm going through is not meant to destroy me. It means, guess what? I will have victory over this in Jesus' name. No matter what I'm facing, death can't hold Lazarus down, so how is anything going to stop me? And that's good to know for me, and I know it's because God loves me. And so can I tell you the same thing, that whatever you're going through, it's not meant to destroy you, and that God loves you. God loves you so much. I was thinking about that today, just about how much God loves me. It almost brought me to tears, because I immediately started thinking about that moment when my daughter was born for the first time, or that moment when I saw my wife walk in for the first time in that white bridal gown, like getting ready to walk in the doors. And it's just that moment. And if you're single and you've never experienced that, you should come to last Friday if you're a young adult, and maybe we can change that. But shameless plug. But thing is I just think of these moments where I looked and I saw just intense love, or I just had this moment of intense love. And it's just like whenever one of my kids was born, it's like, I never have met you before. I really don't know what your personality is gonna be like. You're probably gonna do a lot of mean things to me in your early stages of life, like poop on me, bounce your diaper on me, or things like that. But the thing is I immediately love them so, so much. And just to think that that's not even close to how much God loves us. It's just beautiful. All right, I'm gonna go over if I don't keep going. But what's cool about this is, for Mary and Martha, the story wasn't over yet. For Lazarus, the story wasn't over yet. And for us, can I tell you, your story's not over yet. All right, and so let's continue reading on this. In fact, before that, everyone, go and stay with me. My story's not over yet. Awesome, I like to be interactive. That's gonna be all night, okay? All right, so now verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. Did I already read? Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Continue verse 6. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Verse 7. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Verse 8. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going to go there again? I love this. It doesn't make sense. Right? Jesus sometimes doesn't make sense to us, and no offense, if God was a God, I could fully understand. It's not a God worth following, just telling you right now, okay? But they're sitting here like, wait, you mean to tell me that we just barely got out of there last time, and you want to go hang out in their neighborhood again? Like, what is up with you, right? And it didn't make sense. However, things to us doesn't make sense, and we can just live in comfort of knowing that God loves us, and it won't destroy us. Let's just continue on. For the sake of time, we're going to jump to verse 17. It says, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Think about that for a second. So he died, went through the burial, like routines. He was put into a tomb. He's already been put in, like, the rock or whatever thing's all there. It's all been set. For 4 days, he was dead. Right, this is not like a mistaken identity. This is not like a science thing where it's like, well, you know, they didn't have the science to know whether he was truly dead or not. Like, no, I'm sorry, homeboy's dead, okay? Like, there's not recovering from that, right? We can keep going, I'm sorry. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. He's been dead for 4 days. They're coming to console grief. They're coming to console people who know, like, hey, someone just died, right? That's the kind of loss we have here. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, I love this, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know. He's going to rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, no, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Right? This is beautiful. This is so amazing. I love the scripture, okay? Let's continue on 26 real quick. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Right? This is amazing. This is so beautiful because we have three different responses to the situation. We have three different characters that we're reading in this book, right? And each one represents, I think, a part of our lives or so, maybe represents someone that we can relate to. I know I definitely can. And the first one is Martha. Martha, we have questions. God, if you were only here. God, if you would have only been here. Like, Jesus, what could have happened if you were here? Like, God, why did you let this happen? Why did my brother have to die, right? We have questions. If you love us, then why? If you are all good, then why? Right? You're like, Jesus, you said you love us. Like, it said, it went over multiple times to express how much Jesus loved this family. And yet, where were you, Jesus? You could have come so much sooner. Why did it take you so long? Right? There's these questions. And I can relate with Martha because there's times in my life where I'm like, God, where are you in this? I'm like, Jesus, if you only would have done this yesterday, God, if you would have only been able to do this, or God, if you only did that, like, she has questions. Right? Then the next character is Mary. Mary is sad. She's hurting. She's grieving. She's like, I love you, God. I just don't know. She couldn't even come out of the house. We'll learn a little later that she was in a private place. It wasn't like she was just along the, like, trying to be the hostess and trying to, no, she was in a private place just grieving. We just need your presence, God. And then ministry of tears, not truth. This is a hard ministry to be a part of, but these are people that have lost everything and feel devastated. It's like they don't need you to come into their life and just tell them all this truth. Sometimes they just need you to sit there and cry with them. And this is, I can relate to this. There's times when I've just seemed like no rhyme or reason. It's like, God, it doesn't make sense, and I don't have an answer. And just sitting and crying is the only way to really, to kind of go through this. Now, the last character that I can relate to is Lazarus. Homeboy dead. But the thing is he couldn't control that. It wasn't like, well, he didn't pray hard enough, and so that's why he's dead. It's not that his faith was not strong enough, right? It's not like he can get himself up out of the tomb. Going to church is not going to help deadness. Reading your Bible doesn't help when you're dead, right? Only the voice of Jesus can raise deadness to life. And so there's things in our lives, I know there's things in my lives that are dead. There's things that I personally have gone through. It's like, no, that's dead. Or there's times when I feel like, man, there's no hope in life and just things are just dead. The cool thing is the story's not over yet. Right? Everyone stay, the story's not over yet. Let's continue on in verse 28. When she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, see, they're in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. This is important. I love this. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And right here, the shortest verse in the entire Bible, but yet so powerful. Jesus, God himself in the flesh, our most relatable person, our interceder between us and God, wept. He cried with her. Let's go, let's continue on in 36 here, and then we'll wrap it up. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Again, everybody is looking at this, and everyone is kind of referencing this. They're like, yeah, if God would have only been there to heal his sickness, this never would have happened, right? And these people are not necessarily, they're not like Christians. These aren't people who truly believe, but they're more of kind of mocking in this moment. They're just like, okay, this is supposed to be the guy who can heal the blind, but yeah, he's not even willing to take care of his own family. He's not even willing to take care of people who he loves so much. They're like trying to devalue Jesus in that. And I love how Jesus replied to every one of them. First of all, Martha, what did he do? He spent time with her. She's asking questions. Did he say, stop asking questions, ye of little faith? No, he knew that she's coming up with those questions. She's like, where if you were only here, and what did he do? He comforted her. He said that he will rise again. And she gave the Bible answer, yes, yes, I know. He's going to rise in resurrection one day. It's like, no, I'm telling you, like, I am the resurrection. He's leading her in this moment, right? Then you look at how he interacts with Mary, right? So you have Martha, the one with the questions. The one who's like, I don't understand. He kind of helps her, comforts her, gives her wisdom, right? Then you have Mary who's grieving, who's hurt. What did he do with her? He wept with her. And I love what he did. He didn't go after Mary. He didn't go to the private room, pull her out, and say, hey, come with me. No, what did he do with Mary? He sent Martha. I love this because if you're like, you know what? I relate with Martha. I have some questions. And God says, okay, once you spend time with me, once you spend time with me, Martha, once you kind of have maybe not the answer you're looking for, but you have an answer from me, what does he do? He goes, okay, now go find those that are grieving. Share what I just taught you. Right? He's like, go and get those people and bring them back to me. He doesn't just tell Martha, this is what it is. But no, he stayed exactly where he was. He's like, I'm right where you left me, Martha. Go get your sister and come to me. I think that Jesus doesn't take, like to me, Jesus is not a person who does things just because it sounds cool. He did everything for a purpose. And I believe if you're a Martha, if you're relating to this moment and you're like, I have a lot of questions and I've been asking God, God's saying, yes, I totally want you. Yes, absolutely. Seek me. Come after me. Run to Jesus before he ever gets anywhere. Like run out in the middle of the village. Don't wait for him to come to your house. Go after Jesus. Get those questions answered. Talk to him. And then immediately go and find the Marys. Go and find the grieving and bring them to Jesus. Oh, I love it because it's not only, hey, you're hurting. Yeah, you're going through this, but he goes, I'm giving you a purpose as well. He's like, hey, your brother's not dead. He's going to be resurrected. Go and bring more people to me. I love that. And then Mary, he meets her where she's at. She's grieving. He didn't try to tell her, why are you grieving? Do you not realize that one day you'll see him again? Right? He doesn't try to do this weird consolement where he's just like, hey, well, the Bible says, and so why are you acting this way? No, he just weeps with her. Like, if Jesus can do this, and Jesus is our perfect example, Jesus is who we should emulate to be, like when it's not like, hey, follow me, it's like, follow Jesus, then I think sometimes we need to take that into consideration. When someone is hurting and broken and they don't have answers, they're just crumpled in the floor and crying. I think probably a lot of times our ministry is a ministry of tears and just to be there with them. But I also see that means that Jesus was close to the brokenhearted. Jesus was with those. So if you're like, you know what, I relate more to Mary. I got this loss in my life. I got this struggle in my life, and I don't have an answer. And sometimes all I can do is cry. Jesus is with you. Jesus is next to you. He's just there. He's crying with you. I think sometimes we can get like, Jesus is so perfect and so good and he's in heaven. He's got like way too much to do. Like, he can't focus on me. There's way too much other stuff. Like, who am I? But no, it's like in our pain, it says he will be with the brokenhearted. He is close to those who are going through this. It says that his spirit was moved and he was deeply troubled. He was there weeping with her. And so if you're like, you know what, I'm hurting, you're not alone. Not only is there probably a lot of other Marys in this room, but Jesus is right there with you. You're not alone. He's got his arm around you and he's weeping with you, telling you, I am here. That's important to know. That is for me, that is the most comforting I can ever have when I'm going through struggle or loss, to know my God, my creator, the one who rules the earth, the one who has everything perfectly in alignment, and he comes up and says, no, I'm willing to focus on you. That is powerful. Then the last one, now we got to see what he does to deadness. Now we got to see what Jesus does in deadness. And so the good news is the story's not over yet. So everyone's saying, my story's not over yet. I'm going to finish this up in verse 38. It says, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there's going to be an odor. It's going to stink, Jesus. You really want to know? Like, not only that, but I'm sure they're thinking disease. They're thinking, you know, how much illnesses can happen with us interacting with this dead body? For he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Get chills, sorry. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you have sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. That is powerful. That is amazing. Like, can I tell you that guess what? Death will come. Death will come for all of us. However, it says there, if you believe, yes, you will have the resurrection. Yes, you will be with him forever. But I also love this because this shows that God is a God who's not about leaving things dead, but he's about resurrecting it to life. So if you feel like Lazarus, if you're like, you know what? I'm dead. Whether it be you feel dead inside, whether you feel numb, whether it be that you can't figure out where your focus in life right now is, you just feel lost and spiraling out of control. Or maybe you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, so the truth is you're eternally dead. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It's not about good deeds. It says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then it says then you'll be saved. And so if you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus, if you never said, you know what, God, I realize I'm a messed up sinner. I need to repent, Lord. I need you in my life. Then you're dead. You're dead. And maybe there's some things in your life that leads to death. Some sins that have been racking in your life that leads to death. And those sins, all sin leads to death. And so if you're battling certain struggles with sins and certain things in your life, and can I give you a little advice? Come out. Come out. Right? It says, come out. He yells, Jesus says, come out. Bring him to me. And Jesus says what? He says, you are alive. He's like, no, what was dead is resurrected. And so maybe you're thinking, you know what? I've never surrendered my life to Jesus. I don't know if I believe in this. I'm just going to tell you right now. I don't want you to do it because you want to get out of hell. But I'm going to tell you that there is death. And I'm going to tell you that you're probably experiencing it already. That's why you're here. You're here because you have questions. You're here because you have pain that you can't really answer. You're here because there's something missing in your life and your heart. And you haven't figured out what it is yet. Can I tell you? I know what it is because I've been there. And that hole, that heart, that pain, it's the absence of Jesus. And you're dead and you can feel it. Or maybe it's just that sin, it's that struggle. What I'd like to ask is the prayer team, please come up to the front, guys. Because what I loved about this is Jesus is so good. Not only he's saying, you know what, there's a lot of things dead in your life, but he's saying, I'm a God of resurrection, and I'm willing to resurrect that dead. I'm willing to resurrect you. I'm willing to bring you to life. And I just want to encourage you that if you have anything, if maybe you're Martha, and maybe you're like, you know what, I got questions right now. Well, the good thing is he said what? He said he then employed people, right? He employed people to help them. He said, untie them and let them go free. Well, guess what? These prayer warriors up here, they're here to help untie you and let you go free. So if you're Martha and you've got questions and you're doubting, or you have these things that you just need to get out, because the truth is it's killing you inside, because you need to talk to someone, this is your time. If you're like, you know what, I'm married and I don't know what else to do, I've just been grieving and it's just been so painful, it's just been so hard, guess what? Now is your time. If you're like, you know what, I've been dealing with death in my life, I've been dealing with sin, there's so much dead in my life, you're right, the church isn't going to fix the deadness inside of me, and I'm ready to live resurrected. These prayer warriors are here for you. They're going to help you to untie. They're going to bring you to Jesus and help and just direct you and be there for you to untie those bonds that have been tied around you, the bonds of death. They're going to untie those bonds, and they're going to declare freedom in your life. I don't know about you guys, but I need some resurrection in my life. There's a lot of things in my life that I'm glad that God is saying it won't stay there. It won't stay dead, but no, it's resurrecting. Father God, we thank you for your words. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we get to, and I can only imagine what life would be without you, Lord. I tried for a long time to live life without you. God, I tried to just go on my own way and do how I felt like life should be. And Father, I don't know who this is for, but I was that rebellious guy. I was like, no one's gonna tell me what to do. People tell me what to do, I do the opposite. And there's someone here today that just me talking about this, you're feeling this urge inside your heart that you should get up and you should get prayer. You should get up, you should talk to someone, that you should actually do something about this. But yet every single fiber inside of you is wanting to rebel and say, who are you to tell me how to live? I think hopefully it's a testimony that my life spoke first. That with God and with Jesus, it's not about rules and regulations, but it's about freedom. It's about resurrection. It's about life. It's about joy. It's about peace. It's not about what you can and cannot do, but instead it's about what you get empowered to do. So Father God, I pray, Lord, that maybe there's some hardened hearts because of that, Lord. Maybe that their story is similar to mine. Maybe there's some Marthas who have a lot of questions, or Marys who are just tired of grieving, God. Lord, I pray that tonight we finally let go, I'm not gonna leave here the same person who walked in. I'm gonna walk up, I'm gonna get prayer, and I am gonna walk out of here without my grave clothes on, without being tied up and bonded by death. Instead, I'm gonna walk out here free and resurrected. Lord, I thank you for your words. Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good night, guys.